Back in 1981, the late musician Frank Zappa produced an album that included a song called Dumb All Over, in which he railed against religious extremism, taking aim at mostly Christian evangelical preachers and their influence on American politics. Now, in the song, Zappa warns that religious fanatics could, in effect, undermine and destroy the very norms of life as we know it in the U.S., adding the line, "I mean it won't blow up and disappear, it'll just look ugly for 1,000 years. Dartmouth political scientist Brendan Nyhan seems to be issuing the same kind of warning now about President-elect Donald Trump and his potential to undermine the norms of American democracy. Brendan Nyhan joins me now from the studios of Dartmouth College to explain this view. And Professor Nyhan, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to get right into that analogy I just made about the Frank Zappa lyric. You've said that people worried about what Donald Trump might do in his presidency regarding, let's say, possible conflicts of interest that could violate U.S. law or actions that may be unconstitutional and threaten individual rights are, quote, making the mistake of thinking that there will be a dramatic moment when they should speak out. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I want to caution people against is the idea that the slow erosion of democratic norms is somehow okay because we haven't seen some sort of dramatic event like a coup or the kinds of things that people warn about, which I think are very unlikely. What's much more likely to happen is a slow erosion of norms. We never thought we would see, at least I never thought I would see in my adult lifetime, like a presidential candidate endorsing violence, a presidential candidate calling for the leader of the opposition party, their candidate for president, to be imprisoned and saying he would do so if he took office, and then calling the results of the election itself into question. Those are all violations of fundamental norms of democracy, even if they're not inscribed in law, and we should take them seriously as harming our democracy, again, without a single precipitating dramatic event as a starting point.
Now, there are those who would argue that the campaigning Donald Trump and some of the things that you just alluded to, you know, that was hyperbole. That those were things that he was saying to, in effect, get elected. And that as an actual president, he would govern in a much less dramatic way and wouldn't do things that were quite so stark. What would you say to that retort?
Well, I would say it remains to be seen. If anything, the mistake that people have made with Donald Trump is thinking that he will change his behavior in the future. You know, during the primaries, people said he was going to pivot in the general election. And then in the general election, he kept behaving the same way. And people said, well, he'll change when he's in office. And now we've seen him, as the president-elect, call into question the results of the election, even though he won. That itself was an important norm violation. Trust in the electoral system is essential to a functioning democratic system. In the conflicts of interest, his business operations present unprecedented conflicts of interest. The fact that his children are running his business, participating in the presidential transition at the same time, we've never seen anything like this. He's made vague promises that he'll announce something in December to address this issue. But at this point, he is on track to arguably violate what's called the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution itself on the day he takes office. It's a remarkable and disturbing turn of events, and one we should take seriously, even as people are trying to move on from the election.
How would you evaluate the media's coverage of Trump leading up to his election?
The media is a hard thing to generalize about. There's lots of different aspects. So I would say that some aspects of the coverage were excellent. If you look in the right places, political news coverage is smarter and more sophisticated than it's ever been. A lot of the information people were getting from big sources like cable news wasn't very good. It often amplified misinformation rather than correcting it. Particularly, I should say, in the primary election, which was a time when the media's saturation coverage of Trump made it almost impossible for other Republican candidates to break through. Once we got to the general election, it's much harder to get people to change their minds. Democrats will mostly vote for the Democratic candidate and vice versa on the Republican side. I think that when you're thinking about the failures of the media in this campaign, you really do have to start in the primary process.
What are some of these slow creeping norms that you're worried about, the violations of these norms that could happen? I'm not saying, you know, what are things you're concerned about that you may oppose politically from Donald Trump, you know, a left versus right thing. I'm talking about the things that you have said are really threatening to American democracy as we know it.
Sure. So, and I should be clear here that I'm trying not to speak on behalf of my personal opinions. I'm not telling you what I think about Medicare policy, and that's not my expertise. I wrote back in the spring that Trump had crossed a fundamental line in his willingness to endorse violence at his rallies.
Of course, he would say he never did any such thing.
But there was a tacit and sometimes explicit encouragement of what people would do to protesters in the good old days. Then the chanting of lock her up against Hillary Clinton suggests criminality on the part of the political opposition. He's brought people into government who have a background that we haven't seen in the contemporary era for people at that level of government. So Steve Bannon, his chief strategist, was the publisher of the website Breitbart, a so-called alt-right website that cozied up to a kind of new version of white nationalism. His national security advisor is a conspiracy theorist of the first order who frequently promotes and endorses false and unsupported claims online. This is someone who's going to be advising the president of the United States about how to protect the national security of this country. All of those actions are unusual and unprecedented. And the coverage of the Trump administration should reflect how abnormal some of these things are. I think people hear controversy about Trump, and it sounds like the normal Democrats versus Republicans noise, but some of it isn't. We have plenty of examples of Republicans who've run for office who haven't done these things and haven't endorsed the kinds of measures that Trump has, right? Mitt Romney didn't do this. John McCain didn't do this. George W. Bush didn't do this. These aren't Democrat versus Republican issues. They're about the norms of our democratic system in contemporary American society. And I think we always have to keep that distinction in mind.
And what can people do who, like you, are concerned about these things? What can an ordinary person do?
There are no easy solutions. Norms aren't, by definition, aren't enforceable. These aren't laws that are being violated. They're traditions. People should express their unhappiness with the violation of these norms to their elected officials and via civil society. And again, it's important to be clear that this can't just be a partisan issue. For these norms to be defended effectively, there need to be Democrats and Republicans speaking up.
Given what you just said, and given the fact that Republicans control both houses of Congress, there may not be a political incentive for them to oppose some of these violations of norms that you're talking about if they see the writing on the wall and see that by supporting this particular president, they can maintain their power.
That's absolutely true. To defend norms in the way that I've suggested requires people to act against their political interest. And that's a difficult thing. I'm a political scientist, so I'm realistic about how hard an ask that is. And I should be clear, Republicans have every right to pursue their policy agenda right now. They won the election. They have unified control of Congress. They should try to enact their policy agenda. I don't think we should have to make a choice between the policy agenda that we prefer and the norms of our democracy. Republicans can have both if they stand up to Trump on these norms. Now, unfortunately, people are perceiving this as a kind of zero-sum game. If they oppose Trump in any area, that will weaken him and therefore hurt the chances of the legislation they might like to see enacted. But that's the price of constitutional democracy. That's the way our system has lasted this long, is because people were willing to stand up and say there is a line that they're not willing to cross, regardless of what party they're a member of. Republicans did it when the scope of Richard Nixon's misconduct became clear. That's why he was forced from office. And people of good faith on both sides of the aisle should be able to reach a similar kind of consensus if Trump continues to violate these norms. We'll see. I hope to be wrong, but we can't assume that will be true. And we have to make sure to defend these norms, because we've seen in other countries what happens when these norms aren't defended. And that's not a future that we want to have as a country.
Dartmouth College political scientist Brendan Nyhan, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.